Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Lakshmi Narsingdev Prabhuji, and Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 13th chapter, 6 and 7 verses. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, thank you so much. Dandavach Pranaman Goshtra Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Masi. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble, respectful pranams to all the devotees. So, sorry for the initial delay. So I had some hiccups trying to go online. Then I resorted back to the default of calling in. And apart from that, let me get started. Let me put the charger, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Dhiyave. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavate Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistuti. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 13, Text 6 and 7. Mantriya Vacha Dhruvasya Chotkalaputraha Itari Pratishtevanam Sarabhauma Shriyam Naichad Adi Rajashanam Pituru. Maitreya Vacha Dhruvasya Chotkalaputra Itari Pratishtevanam Sarabhauma Shriyam Naichad Adi Rajashanam Pituru. Translation by Stephen Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya replied, "My dear Vidura, when Maharaja Dhruva departed for the forest, his son Utkala did not desire to accept the opulent throne of his father, which was meant for the ruler of all the lands of this planet." Verse number 7. Sajanmano upashanta viksham madakshanah adrikaloke upatam atma nandekanatmi. Thank you. From his very birth, Utkala was fully satisfied with his unattached superior. The sweetie boys, for he could see everything working in the super soul. The super soul is present to everyone's heart. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita,
symptoms and characteristics of Utkala, Sangha Maharaja Dhruva, the truth of Mahabhagavata, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, at the 6:30, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Samayi Pashyati. The highly advanced devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere. And he also sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, and he also sees everything within the Supreme. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 9.4. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina.
There's a lot of background noise and voice is not audible.
Is this any better, Mataji?
Yes, it's good.
Thank you. A highly advanced Mahabhagavata devotee sees in his spirit, he sees the same super soul, Paramatma, existing within everyone's heart. Regardless of discrimination based on the different material forms of the living entities, he sees everyone as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mahabhagavata, who experiences the Supreme Godhead's presence everywhere, is never missing from the sight of the Supreme Lord, nor is the Supreme Lord ever lost from his sight. This is possible only when one is advanced in love of Godhead. Hari Om Tat Sat. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamakyam Gadati Supadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangrum Langaya Vikri Yat Kripayatamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Vishwanam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Sri Mukhe Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurubani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadra Shri Vasadi Gura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Krishna to all the devotees of Bhakti Sangha. I'm sorry for the initial delay, keeping you on wait. And I had some difficulty coming on YouTube live. The first time I was trying to go live. So I resorted back to the call. I hope I'm audible for everyone.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, thank you. So today is a important verse here, and I guess we have been discussing on this Dhruva Charitra for quite some time. There's a lot of lessons to learn from each and every verse, and I'll try to throw some light on from my little understanding on these two verses. So we are at a situation when Dhruva Maharaj has already gone back home, back to Godhead. And Narada Muni is continuing to talk about my dear Brahmana, how did Narada Muni glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what pastimes were described in that meeting. So Vidura, Sage Vidura, is asking Sage Maitreya about further what happened on this pastime. So Sage Maitreya is going on to describe what happened next. That's the subject matter of today. So Srimad Bhagavatam and many other Puranas, so they have multiple different subject matter. Especially in the Padma Purana, it is described what is the characteristic of a Purana? The Purana at least has to talk about five different things. Sargascha Patisargascha Vamsa Manvantarani Cha Vamsana Charitam Cha Api Puranam Panchalakshanam. So what are the five important subject matters? Sarga. Sarga means creation. Pratisarga means annihilation. And Vamsa, Manvantarani Cha. So the descendants of great lineage of great kings. And who are the Manvantaras? Who are the Manus? Who had two of the different times? And Vamsana Charitam Chapi Puranam Panchalaksham. So describing about the descendants of the great kings and what are their great activities is definitely an important aspect of the Puranas. Because Purana is has to do multiple different, it has to achieve multiple different goals. One is to convey the subject matter of the main Purana. So like the Srimad Bhagavatam and many of the Puranas, like Padma Purana, they are all considered to be Sattvika Puranas. So they are helping the souls who are reading it to elevate to the platform of goodness. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost because it is taking us to the platform of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, talking about the pure devotional service, talking about the great souls, Mahabhagavatas and the Lord's different incarnations at different times. So all these things are discussed at great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it goes beyond the five bhakshanas to talk about other subject matters also. And it's considered to be the crest jewel of the entire the Vedic literature, the tree of Vedic literature. And the Goswamis established that very wonderfully in their work, Tattva Sandarbha. They mentioned about the different subject matter like the Upanishads, how they are actually in hierarchy, and how Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme topmost Purana. And the quote from Garuda Purana established that Srimad Bhagavatam is the explanation of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and Gayatri Mantra, the Mahabharata. So it is transcending the entire Vedic literature. It gives the complete understanding, the fruit of the Vedic tree. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a topmost Purana, and it is the crest jewel, and it is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. So we are so fortunate to have Srimad Bhagavatam spoken from the words of Sri Vedvyasa Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya. And we are very fortunate he has given us the complete understanding from all the previous Acharyas. And we are spoon-fed on this wonderful literature. So here, Maharaja Dhruva is a great Mahabhagavata himself, and his son Utkala is no less than him. He is a Mahabhagavata himself. That is the subject matter of today. So just like we observe in our families, when we have multiple, when there are more than one kids, the younger kids has a better locus standi to observe from the elder sibling and learn from him. And he doesn't have to undergo the same amount of difficulty to understand things. He easily observes and understands and incorporates in his scheme of things. That's the beauty of the advantage of being a younger sibling. And this analogy is very much applicable here to Maharaj Utkala. So he is also looking at his wonderful life of his father. He observes from his life and he learns from it. And he incorporates it in his decision making. So when he was offered the throne of the entire world, entire Bhuloka. So he simply refuses it because he has no interest in it. Because he has understood that the prime importance of the life is to render service unto the Supreme Lord and always think of Him as the primary goal of life, and make this life perfect and go back on that recording. So he very much understands that he doesn't want to take any chances of going back to the material life, although it is not totally material, but still there is always a danger of being distracted. So there were some, he himself saw from the life of Maharaj Dhruva, how he started with the material desire, but fortunately he became a pure devotee of the Lord. But still, in the course of being a king, there are so many distractions and there are so many challenges that he has to upkeep. When his brother was missing and he learned he was killed by the Yakshas, he had to go and fight them off. So he had to do so many other things. And when you do certain things, it's not unusual to just get carried away, either by the victory or by the defeat, and lose the goal, lose sight of the goal. So that is a very great danger always there when you engaged in material activities. It is a double-edged weapon. So it can, when properly done under proper guidance of great souls, it can help us in emancipation in this world. If not, it can also be degrade us from the spiritual point of view perspective to the material perspective, being carried away by the either victory or gain to just being material, forgetting the duties of spiritual life. It's very easy to get carried away. So he didn't want to take any chances with that. He wanted to be very clear from the very beginning that he will give up this material life and he would go to meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this aspect, Srimad Bhagavatam also teaches us that there are three kinds of disciples. So, and it goes on to say Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishta. The Uttama disciple is one who doesn't have to be told, but he learns by just observation from his spiritual master. So he is blessed by his spiritual master's teachings, that he doesn't have to be told, but he just learns from his observation or by the intention of a spiritual master. The second kind of a disciple is a Madhyama, is mediocre. So he has to be told in specific to the do's and don'ts, and so then he learns and he upkeeps teachings. The third kind of disciple is, he is to be told, and even after being told, he does make mistakes. And he learns from the mistakes and he corrects himself. That's a Adama. But he's still a disciple. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't talk about the fourth kind, someone like me, so who not just have to undergo the difficulties and undergo the lessons, but still doesn't reform. Such persons have no chance, so they only have to depend upon the mercy of the great souls. So, similarly here, Utkala is, he clearly shows that he is a Uttama type of a Siksha. So he is the topmost disciple, Sishya of a highest kind. So, again, coming back to the verse. So this, how someone can become such a great devotee of the Lord from the very birth, like Maharaj Dhruva. So he has to have something from his previous life. So that Krishna definitely mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita also. Prapya punya kritam lokan Usitva Shashvatai Samaha Utinam Srimatam Gehe Yogo Prashto Vijayate.
such great souls are born in family of great devotees, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. Although, because they have not fulfilled their devotional process in their previous lives, they, because of their long practice of devotion, they take birth in the family of great souls. Athava yoginam eva kule bhavati bhimatam etat thi durlabhaptanam loke janma yat idrisham. So such great souls, they are born in the great family of great devotees. For someone who has started in the process of yoga, but they have given up in the very beginning because of allurement towards material gratification, Krishna still blesses them to be born in family of aristocracy, where they are provided with everything they need in their life, and if they want, they can carry forward. Krishna gives them the free will. So being born in a very well-to-do family is a great blessing, for sure. And they are given a choice. So they observe the world. Everybody is given an option to pursue spiritual life because they are looking at the world and they are learning how difficult it is. And the Vedic scriptures are always at their disposal. So they can definitely find out that this is an Kalyam Shashvatam, the place of misery. It's a place of impermanence. They have all the options to learn from it, and then they can make a choice. Yes, there is something beyond material life, and that has to be found out. They can go and find out. So Krishna gives them free will. But whereas for someone who has followed yoga for a long time, and they have somehow or other got distracted, for them, Krishna says they are already born into family of devotees. Like in this case, Utkala was born in a family of a devotee and he had a chance to pursue spiritual life in the very beginning. And he does not fail in that aspect. He takes up to the spiritual life in the very beginning. And Srila Prabhupada also describes him as Mahabhagavata. So Mahabhagavata,
Hare Krishna.
Cannot hear you. Try to connect him, Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, what happened?
Okay, okay.
Hare Krishna, am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't know, something happened. Sorry for the disconnect. So I was talking about how Utkala was in Mahabhagavata. and how he had absorbed it from his father, the great qualities of being attached to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. And so in the path of perfection, so there are two different ways of approach. So one is Pravritti Marga, another one is Nivritti Marga. So what is Pravritti Marga is, you adopt the Varnashrama process, and then you go by your Varnanashrama, and then you perfect in that process, and also go up to the platform of Bhagavata Dharma. So that is recommended for a general populace, to follow the Pravritti Marga. Gradual detachment by engagement. So the Nivritti Marga is also described in the Vedic literatures, like in Upanishads, and chiefly in Srimad Bhagavatam. It talks about taking up to the Bhagavata Dharma. So for the Bhagavata Dharma, one doesn't have to have any qualification. The Varnashrama Dharma, you have to have some certain qualification. You have to have the qualities for absorbing the duties of a specific varna and absorb the rules and regulations of an ashrama. Whereas in the Nivritti Marga, the only qualification is firm resolve to follow the process of Bhagavad Dharma. So one's birth or one's other qualification doesn't matter. So if someone has resolved himself to dedicate himself to the life of being a devotee, and has the blessings of a spiritual master, that's all is required to follow Nivritti Marga. So it's enlightenment by detachment. So you don't take up to the process of engagement as in the Pravritti Marga, but you detach yourself and completely dedicate one's life in the service of the Supreme Lord. That's Nivritti Marga. So we have seen different devotees take up different ways, like in the case of Maharaj Dhruva. So he had definitely started with the Pravritti Marga, and by the advice of the Supreme Lord, he took up to the becoming a king, and he lived a life of a king, and he did his duties perfectly, and completely renounced it at a later point of life. But Utkala, he didn't want to take that option. He took up to the Nivritti Marga, and he started with detachment from the very beginning. So that's very unusual. That's not a general recommendation. But being blessed with his father's being born in that great family, and observation and learning from his father, he took up to that process. So for such devotees, there are no rules. There are nothing that is binding them. So question might arise, why did Utkala refuse an opportunity? So he could also taken up Pravritti Marga. He could have taken up to the process of being a king and executing the duties. And there are great souls who have done in the past. So we have examples from the Pandavas. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a king himself. And we also have Parikshit Maharaj, who was a king himself. So why he didn't take that option? And isn't it binding on him to do that? The question might arise. But for someone who has developed pure devotion to the Lord, there's no such bindings. Srimad Bhagavatam very beautifully it extols that. Devarishi bhutaptanam pitranam nakinkaro nayam rinicha rajan sarvatmaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihatya kartam. So in the 11th canto, the discussion between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayogendras. So Navayogendras, they mention that for someone who has completely taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarvatmaya Sharanam Sharanyam, it's a very beautiful verse. So one who has taken complete surrender, shelter of the Supreme Lord, complete means complete. He has absolutely no desire of his own to fulfill. For such a great soul who has gone to the shelter of Mukunda, the deliverer from the material life, there is no material obligation towards Deva, Rishi, Bhutap, Nanam, So in general, everyone has to do Pancha Mahayagya. So they have their rina or their debts to fulfill as soon as they take birth towards the devas, the demigods, towards the rishis because they give us the Vedic literature, the demigods because they give us light, air to breathe, and food in abundance. We also have the debts towards the other living entities who give us different necessities of life. And we also have debt towards the other forefathers, pitrus. As soon as someone is born, we have a debt towards the forefathers. We have to do the karya, the pinda karya, in order to deliver the forefathers from the hellish regions. So if we don't do that, then the pitrus are going to curse us. And we have to also, if someone is taken the vow of grihastha ashrama, they are duty bound to give birth to an offspring. So, putrahinam griham shunyam, it is said. And the offspring is required because the offspring is going to continue with the doing the pitru oblations to the pitru so that they can be delivered from the hellish regions. So all these different duties are binding living entities. But how can Utkala give up all these duties and just take up to the process of pure devotion? The question might arise. He has a very good, born in a very good family. He is, at his disposal is like the kingdom and the chance of becoming a king of the entire world. So why didn't he do that? And he can be a devotee and he can be a king as well. He can do both of them together. Why he didn't do that? The answer to that is, his mind is already tuned to taking full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he doesn't have any such debts to fulfill. He doesn't have any obligations. So that is the why Utkala was celebrated as a great devotee of the Lord, because he has complete surrender to the Supreme Lord. The same goes to the great devotees like gopis. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we see gopis, they were such a great devotees that they would even give up their duties as a householder, as a responsible mother or responsible wife of a housekeeper of the family, and go towards serving the Supreme Lord dead of the night because of his calling. And they don't have any fear of being reprimanded for their actions. That is because they know the highest thing is to serve the Supreme Lord. And their mind, their intellect, their body has already been dedicated for this purpose, serving the Supreme Lord. They don't fear the vilification by other society members. Some of their great devotees also in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Rishabhadev, even Shukadev Goswami for that matter, they don't even dress themselves. So they are going around the world, illuminating general populace, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they don't even consider it important to dress themselves because they have transcended the platform of bodily conception of life. They're already in the Uttamadhikari platform. So that brings us the discussion of the Adhikaris, the different classification of devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam mentions about the different kinds of devotees. So especially starting with a Prakrita Bhakta, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so we see the discussion between the Lord Krishna and Uddhava. Krishna extols about the great different types of devotees. Acharyameva haraye pujam yashraddaya hate natat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smata. A prakrita devotee is one who is very much dedicated to the deity form of worship, who is very much believe that the Lord is there in the temple for in the temple as a deity, and he needs to be worshipped. So he doesn't have the understanding of devotees of the Lord, how they are very much part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. How, as Krishna says in the Lord Chaitanya explains that the Lord and the devotee are one in purpose. So he is not able to see that distinction, that the devotee are one in the purpose for the Supreme Lord. They carry forward the desires of the Supreme Lord for his pleasure. In that sense, they are non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. So like a pure devotee and a guru, a spiritual master, so we worship them in the morning, Sakshat Haritvena Samastha Shastra. So he is non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. So, but the Prakrita Bhakta is not able to see that. A Kanishta Adhikari is not able to see that. Whereas a Uttama Adhikari is also quite different. He is also not able to see the difference between different souls, different categories. Because of his completely anointed, his eyes were anointed with pure devotion, he always sees everyone as an aspect of Supreme Lord. He sees Supreme Lord's aspect in everyone. He sees the material creation is a Shakti or is an energy of the Supreme Lord. He sees all the living entities as the Tatashta Shakti of the Supreme Lord. And he doesn't see the distinction because he's always in the thoughts of serving the Supreme Lord and his emotions are completely towards that. So in that platform also he doesn't see distinction. Here, that is the platform of Utkala. So Utkala is in that platform. He is always seeing Supreme Lord at every moment. It's not different. It's not completely in any way different from the Supreme Lord. In the aspect that he is seeing Supreme Lord at all times. So such great devotee, it's very easy to misunderstand. So especially the Prakrita Bhakta or neophytes or the atheist people, they are not able to see such pure devotees. And they are taking them to be in their own right, acting in their own different ways. So they don't understand the elevated position of such great devotees and they vilify them. So that is why a Madhyama Adhikari, he is able to see the differences. Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Madhyama Adhikari also. Ishvare tad adineshu bale baliseshu dvishatshu cha prema maitri kripo apeksha yatkaroti samadhyamaha. So Madhyama devotee is someone who can see a distinction. So he is a Supreme Lord and he sees his devotees. And he adopts a different approach towards different kinds of people. That's a Madhyama Adhikari. So he sees the Supreme Lord, he sees a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and he worships the Lord. He reverses the Supreme Lord's devotees. And when he sees Balisheshu, someone who was very innocent and who is open for taking up the process of devotional service, he gives them compassion. By prema, prema here means compassion. And when it comes to dvishatshu, dvishatshu means for someone who is envious towards the devotees, someone who is envious of the Supreme Lord, he keeps a distance. He doesn't associate with them. And when it comes to someone who is adineshu, who is equal to him, for such person, he exhibits friendliness, maitri. And by means of maitri, he is exchanging devotional feelings towards other devotees like himself. So in this way, he distinguishes four kinds of people. He distinguishes between innocence. For innocence, he gives his association, he gives his instruction, and he inspires them to take up to the path of devotion. Whereas when it comes to an equal, he exhibits friendliness. And when it comes to someone who is envious, he keeps a distance. The question arises, why should we not go and enlighten the envious? Because envious, they are also part and parcel of the Lord. They are also the living entities. Why not do that? So the reason, because Madhyamadhyam Kariki knows his level. He knows his capacity. He doesn't do things beyond his capacity. He knows by trying to enlighten the envious people, he is going to agitate them, and they are in turn going to criticize himself or criticize the Lord, or criticize the devotees. It's a very dangerous situation. So Uttamadhikari doesn't see that platform. Sometimes Uttamadhikari comes to the platform of Madhyamadhikari and gives his mercy towards such envious souls also. Like in the case of Nityananda Prabhu or Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was able to see that Jagai and Madai were there. They are very envious towards devotees, and they are very much completely atheistic. And he wanted to avoid them. But Nityananda Prabhu, being Avadhuta, is Uttamadhikari platform. Haridas Thakur was also Uttamadhikari platform. But he came to the Madhyamadhikari and he was seeing the distinction. But Nityananda Prabhu was not in the platform. He was on the platform, was completely willing to do anything and everything to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he saw that an opportunity in preaching to Jagai and Madan. And he did not care how they would react, whether they would take it in their heart, or they would curse him, or they would, worse come, they would even harm him. So he was completely, did not mind. All he wanted is, he wanted to remind them of his their constitutional position as devotees of the Lord. And in turn, he was harmed. But even after being harmed, he didn't mind. He was still pity. He was still begging them, please kindly chant the names of Krishna, at least once. It doesn't matter if you hit me. You can hit me more. It doesn't matter. But utter the name of Lord Krishna once. And that's the mood of an Uttamadhikari. An Uttamadhikari doesn't look for any name and fame. He is only looking to please the Supreme Lord. The same way, Utkala also, as Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, she's a Mahabhagavata. He's in that platform. He's completely wanting to please his Lord. He doesn't care if he's having to give up his an opportunity to rule the entire world. That is absolutely, it's like a blade of grass. He disregards it. So, the lesson that we have to learn is that we should learn, we should not be a Prakrita Bhakta or a Kanishtha Adhikari. Rather, we should try to come to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari, and we should be able to see different levels of devotees, and we should be able to regard the devotees superior to us and exhibit friendship to the devotees of the same level and give compassion, exhibit compassion, go out of our way and please our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada by going out of our way and reaching out to the other people who might be innocents, who are looking for some solution for their material suffering. By giving them this solution of taking up to this process of chanting the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and taking them to the point of surrender to the Supreme Lord, that is the best we can do to please the devotees of the Lord, please the Acharyas and the Supreme Lord Himself. So we also need to sometimes avoid the people who might be envious. Knowing our capacity, as we may not be in a position to be able to preach to them. So we should avoid the atheistic class, we should avoid the people who are envious of devotees. and let the Uttamadhikaris deal with them. So that is the lesson that we can learn from this verse, from the great life of Maharaj Dhruva and his son Utkala. And with this little illustration from my little understanding, I would like to open the forum for any questions, any comments.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, Dandana Pranam. Thank you so much for the very, very nice class. It was very enlightening. Really like the example you were talking about the younger sibling picking by just watching the elder sibling. And you were trying to relate it to Utkala's situation as he's learned from his father, Dhruva. That was very, very nice. And also about Pravritti and Nivritti Marga. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, I just had a question. When you were talking about Nivritti Marga, you were talking about how we are indebted to five different classes of people. So, and about the Panchamaha, Yajna, and all that. So, generally, the people who are in the process of Pravritti Marga and they are not able to continue, the descendants, there are many situations like that. So, does taking up to Krishna consciousness in some way help the situation, or what are your thoughts and comments on that?
Thank you for those kind words, and thank you for this wonderful question. So, it's a very pertinent question. So, it's very difficult to follow Nivritti Marga. So, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Maham Prapatyate. So, such great souls are very rare. Krishna acknowledges that. So, in general, the path of that is laid open for everyone is a gradual detachment by engagement. That is Varnashrama Dharma to Bhagavata Dharma. So, Varnashrama Dharma by itself involves this Panchamaha Yajna, and it is very important to follow this to the greatest detail so that we don't become sinful. In the absence of performing this Panchamaha Yajna, so we have a very sinful future ahead, a very grey future ahead. Because especially if you go to the Manu Samhita and different things, it extols the need for doing this different yajnas. And the absence of doing this yajnas, what are the results of that? Really grave. So we may not even get a human birth if we don't utilize the opportunity to do this possibilities, the duties of the Panchamaha Yajna. So it's a very pertinent question. But what happens if we're not able to do it to the greatest perfection? So that is especially in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to perform all these things to greatest detail in the absence of proper guidance, how to do it, in the absence of a proper example of to do it. So it is going to be very difficult to do that. So the beauty is that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ate etamam prapatyante tam satayo vajamiham. So how much we surrender unto Him, that much He reciprocates. So Krishna says to us that, He says that, how much we are able to surrender unto Him, that much we are relieved from the debt. The debt is very high, but more and more we surrender unto Him, more and more we sincerely try to surrender unto Him. So Krishna is going to take care of that. So that is what He also declares in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that for someone who has given up all other process of dharma, sarva dharma and parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham paapyebhyo moksha yashami maasuchaha, I'm going to deliver them from all the different sinful reactions, provided they surrender unto me completely. So we should make complete effort. I'm repeating it. We should make complete effort to surrender unto Him at all aspects, of our life, at all parts of our life. And by means of complete surrender, you will be able to be relieved from the sinful reactions. Krishna takes care of that. So that is His promise in the Bhagavad Gita. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much for very kindly answering. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu Chaitanya, Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Very active in class. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your association.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvach Pranam. Thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. It's so instructional. If anybody have any questions or comments for Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishtha. I was remembering about nectar of instruction reading recently, and I had a doubt. So I wanted to ask you. Yeah, the question is like in one of the verses when I was reading nectar. Yeah?
Prabhuji, we are not able to hear your question.
Oh, really? Okay.
Can you please repeat again?
Yeah,
we are able to hear you. Please repeat.
Okay, sure, Prabhu. Yeah, I was just saying when we're talking about, when you're mentioning about the Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttamadhikari, so I had one question when I was reading to Nectar of Instruction. I wanted to understand it properly. The question was about, the verse was talking about something like this, when a devotee who has not taken Diksha, we respect them in our heart. And when a devotee who has taken Diksha, we pay obeisances to him. And then for Uttamadhikari devotee, I don't know the exact language what was used, but for a Uttamadhikari devotee, we engage in loving exchanges with them. I don't remember the exact language, so I understood it. And Prabhupada was explaining that that's where we follow the, with Uttamadhikari devotee, we follow the loving exchanges mentioned in the text 4, like Dadati, Pratignati, that verse. Like that it was describing. So I was suddenly, I didn't understand properly, Prabhu, that, so that means, whereas in, we also hear like you described, Madhyamadhikari devotees, they make friendship with others at the same level. Like that also we understand. So I was used to think that we do a loving exchanges with Madhyamas at our platform and then follow the instructions from the Uttamadhikaris. Like that I used to understand before. I don't know. You can clarify, Prabhu, what the verse is indicating there in Nectar of Instruction, like that.
Very nice question, Prabhu. So the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the how we relate with different kinds of devotees. For a devotee who is very new and is innocent and who is younger to us in terms of understanding of spiritual science, so we definitely spend time to help him. So for a devotee of equal caliber and who is of equal understanding, and we develop friendship. That's what we also saw in this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Nectar of Instruction also advises us in the same way. For anyone who is chanting the name of Krishna and we respect them in the heart, for an initiated devotee, we pay obeisances to them. And for anyone who is spiritually more mature and more senior to us, we listen to them. We ask for advice. And for anyone who is a Uttama Adhikari, we Pariprashnena Sevaya. So we just do a completely devote ourselves to serving them. And because such great devotees are very, very, very rare. So in this world, they are like in, it's like in a great lottery. So if we can have an association of impure devotees, it's like an direct visa to the spiritual world. We can, by pleasing such a pure devotee, we please Krishna very easily. So an Uttama Adhikari is very difficult to see. And we should not leave an opportunity to serve him. Whereas for people who are equal understanding or a little senior to us, that's where we exchange the five different exchanges. So we dadati pati grihnati, and guhyam akyati prachati, and bhunkte bhojete cheva. These are five ways of exchanges. We give them gifts and we accept gifts given to us. We reveal our mind in confidence, and we also listen to them, and we also give prasadam. And so these are the five ways of exchanging love towards devotees of equal understanding. And that's perhaps what was explained in the Nectar of Instruction was. Am I making it more clear for you?
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. That is the way I had the doubt, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Means I understood what you said. Maybe I should read the Nectar of Instruction one more time. But where my confusion came was, it seems to indicate that the loving exchanges we should do with Uttama Adhikari devotee. That's how I understood it from that verse. Whereas, like you mentioned, it's more of we respect, we serve them, we follow the instructions. That is a normal, usual understanding. But in this verse, it was trying to say that we exchange loving exchanges with Uttama Adhikari devotees. That's how I understood it, Prabhu. Maybe I'll read one more time.
Yeah, Prabhu, I think we better read it once again. Because when it comes to Uttama Adhikari, we better be very careful. So,
yeah.
Obviously, they will not take any offense because they are in that platform. But Krishna will not be pleased by our behavior. So that is why we have the teaching from the Vaishnava etiquette, right? We have Vaishnava etiquette is a Sadhu Bhushana. It also protects us from committing any offenses towards other devotees. So the Uttama Adhikari, we should just do Pariprashnena Sevaya. We can ask some questions, and we have to do a service first. We have to please them. That should be our goal. And we can ask our questions and seek some guidance.
Yeah,
but to have loving exchanges, we better be a little careful. We have to nuance it a bit, and we have to be careful. We have to do perhaps under the guidance of a more senior devotee, and how we do loving exchanges without committing any offense.
Got it. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Does anybody else have any questions? If nobody have any questions, let us pay obeisances to all the assembled devotees. Vancha Kalpatarupyasha Kupasandhuhevasa Pratitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Karantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Grace Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhuji Ki. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful time.
Hare Krishna.